Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. This Week in America, online, thisweekinamerica.us. A Harvard Business Review study found that 71% of executives rank employee engagement as very important to achieving organizational success. Yet, only 24% said that their employees were highly engaged. Companies worldwide striving to find effective ways to build strong employee engagement. In the new book, Build It, the Rebel Playbook for World-Class Employees, the authors Glenn Elliott and Deborah Corey share how the world's most successful companies are doing things differently in order to bridge this engagement gap. The book is written from two distinct and different perspectives, Glenn, the entrepreneur and CEO, and Deborah, the corporate HR director. Glenn is the founder, Deborah, the reward director of the UK-based Reward Gateway, a world leader in integrated employee engagement technology with more than 1,800 clients worldwide. The company has developed the employee engagement platform, the Engagement Bridge. Deborah has over 30 years' experience in HR, senior-level roles at Fortune 500 companies, including Gap, Merlin Entertainments, and Honeywell, an expert in global reward and employee communication. Her teams have won numerous awards for their innovative solutions, and in 2010, she was named Employee Benefits Professional of the Year. Deborah Corey, co-author, Build It, the Rebel Playbook for World-Class Employee Engagement, with us on This Week in America. Deborah, welcome to the program. So happy to have you with us on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me here. I'm really looking forward to our conversation.
Thank you. Coming from the UK and the US, so This Week in America and the UK as well would be the appropriate title for the program. I want to go back to that stat I used at the beginning of the introduction there, an amazing survey, Harvard Business Review. Over 70% of executives say that employee engagement is important, critical to the success of their corporations. Yet less than 24%, one in four, said their workers were highly engaged. Why is there such an engagement gap?
Well, let me start out by saying that I love the first number. Before I get into the negative, I'll start with the positive. So as an HR person, for years, we've been trying to get our leaders to understand the importance of engagement. And the fact that over 70% of them believe that it's important, I'm hoping that's the first step in improving the gap, because any organization needs to have all of their leadership team, all of their managers, and all of their employees working together to close that gap. So I think that's part of the problem. And then the other problem, and that's what we talk about in the book, is how we as organizations really need to start challenging what we've been doing over the years, challenging the status quo, and just start thinking and acting differently. Sounds simple, but it isn't simple. It's a lot of hard work.
Yeah, and you've got the 10 elements in the book, and the book is called Build It, the Rebel Playbook, and we'll give you information on that throughout the program. Deborah's website is rebelplaybook.com. You can link on by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. The book is available wherever books are sold. And I'm thinking companies probably now more than ever, with the innovation and things changing rapidly, we really need to have employee engagement now, like I said, maybe more than ever before.
We do, and in the book, it's one of my favorite quotes. It says, how can you have your customers love you if your employees don't even like you? And if you think about engagement, that's just so critical. You want your employees to like you, to have the relationship with you. And as you say, with the world changing so to get that, employees have a louder voice, and they're impacting your customers day in and day out.
So often, and leaders obviously realize we may have a problem here when they look at their corporations. How do they go about creating a culture of employee engagement? How difficult is that to get started on the right path? And then in a few minutes, we're going to talk about some companies that follow your elements and the amazing success that they've had.
Well, you know, it's a really good question. And to be honest with you, the answer is different for every single company, depending on the situation that they're in. And that's why we created this model with different elements, because it depends what your company is trying to achieve and what the challenges you have. So in one company, it might be that employees don't feel recognized, and that might be an area to focus on. Another, it might be you really need to focus on developing your people to be able to keep up with the changing technology. So, for example, one of the stories in our book is about a company that does computer gaming. And for them, if they were going to keep up with their competitors and exceed it, they needed to develop their employees more quickly. So, again, it depends what the business is trying to achieve and what they need their employees to help them do together.
It's all laid out in the book, Build It, the Rebel Playbook for World-Class Employee Engagement, co-author Deborah Corey with us on the program. It's interesting, you talk about companies with the highest engagement, those that are doing it right, what they have in common. Talk about that, because there's one trait that really all of these have.
They do, and the title, Rebel Playbook, sort of sums it up, because they are rebels. And you know, sometimes rebel has a negative connotation, but when we talk about rebels, what they all have in common is that they really, first of all, understand what their businesses need. And then they're not afraid to, again, as I said before, challenge the status quo, do things a bit differently. And what we tried to do is we tried to show rebels of all different sizes and shapes. So you don't always have to be some big company that has lots of money to spend on it. It could be a smaller company or a company that has no money to spend on it, and they've done little things that have had a huge impact. So it's really important to be bold and be brave and be a rebel. We, in the book, we say, join the revolution.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And it's been so successful for so many different companies. And it's interesting because there is a payoff. You talk about generating stock market returns that are doing twice what others are doing. And the fact that they're employee turnover, and that's so expensive when you have to replace somebody, that whole process, you virtually cut that in half.
Exactly, and I think that's one of the big reasons that leaders are starting to stand up and notice engagement, because before it might have been, you know, a touchy-feely type of HR thing to look at, but now leaders and everyone are seeing that there are tangible returns, as you said, 2-3 times stock market return. Innovation can't take place without engagement, and as you said, turnover, you know, better safety records, productivity, the list goes on and on of the impact and the importance of engagement.
What is really impressive as you put the engagement bridge together, this is not some theory thing that you sat around and decided, okay, let's do it this way. This really, a lot of practical experience went into this, went over several thousand companies that you actually talked to, worked with to put these 10 elements together.
Yeah, and you know, there is no magic trick, no magic, you know, model that is going to change how we do it. This is basically common sense. So if I went out to anybody, forget about the terminology, and I asked you, what are the things that are important to you as an employee? These would be the types of things that people would say. These would be the 10 elements. And again, they might call it something different. To us, we wanted to just talk about them individually and then ask people to think and act differently when it comes to each and every one. And that's really where we'll make a difference.
One of the areas you talk about is organizational values. An interesting story with Southwest Airlines involving the staff in developing and embedding organizational values. Talk about what they did with great success.
Yeah, and I love this chapter on values because, well, first of all, in each of the chapters, we include plays, which are stories about companies, and we try to share different types of plays. And what I like about what Southwest did with their values is most companies have a set of values, and they took it one step further, and they decided they would have a core set of values, but then they felt that managers needed to have different values to live and breathe and behave. So they created managers, and then they went one step further than that, and they created one for their leadership team. So they really were using their values as a way to drive behaviors throughout in the different types of jobs. So I thought that was very unique and rebellious, and we wanted to share it with people, whether they decide to do it or not, just to take a step back and think about, are your values driving all of the behaviors that you need, or do you need to create different variations like Southwest did?
The book is called Build It, the Rebel Playbook for World-Class Employee Engagement. Co-author Deborah Corey with us on This Week in America. The website is rebelplaybook.com. The book is available wherever books are sold. And, of course, you can link on directly to Deborah's website by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. You talk a lot in the book, and the elements have to do with pay and fairness in pay. And one of the companies you focus on in there is Bamboo HR, eliminating commissions to increase collaboration in the sales force. Talk about how that worked, because you'd think almost it would have the opposite effect.
Yeah, and I'm glad you raised this one, because what we try to do in the book is we try to, as I said before, show different types of rebels. And I'm not saying this is going to work for every company right. out there. But when Bamboo HR looked at their team and what their team was trying to do, they felt that actually the commission program was driving the wrong behaviors. And I've seen this myself in organizations where instead of people collaborating to do what's best to either get a client or to maintain a client, it actually was creating hurdles and driving a wedge between their team. So the person that I interviewed at Bamboo HR had seen it be successful in his previous organization, and he thought he wanted to bring it over. And they when I wrote the book, they had just rolled it out. But so far, it had been very successful in the way that they developed it and the way that it worked to drive the right behaviors in their business. So again, not for everyone, but in that particular situation, it worked quite well, and it is working well.
One of the elements is rethinking employee workspaces. You have an example, GE, new office space in Sydney, Australia, went in and worked with that to enhance employee engagement and productivity. Talk about that, because something as simple as reorganizing that space, it has a tangible impact.
It does, and more and more companies, and I'm not an expert on workspace, but the great thing about writing this book is I spoke to experts in each of the elements of the bridge, and workspace is really becoming so interesting, and the whole concept of agile working, so creating spaces so that if you need some quiet time, you know, to go and maybe read a book to prepare for one of these interviews, you could go find a quiet space. If you needed a space where you needed to collaborate, you could create a space, you could go to a different space in the office. So instead of having one space that tries to do everything for everyone, businesses are really getting more creative, and it does impact productivity. I've seen it at my company, because since writing this book, we've redesigned our office. And it's exactly, we've got some quiet spaces, we've got some spaces where everyone goes to, we even have a hidden garden where you could go sneak away if you want some quiet, inspirational space. So it definitely impacts productivity.
And one of the elements as well is improve employee well-being. Talk about that. And I think it makes sense when you think it through, that if your employee is healthy and happy, he's going to be a lot more, she's going to be a lot more productive. But it's something maybe is overlooked a lot.
It is, and it's exciting to see this be a part of the bridge. And it actually was one of the newer elements of the bridge. And if I think back, you know, 10, 20 years ago, we used to think, you know, you have your work persona and you've got your home persona. And we didn't touch well-being, because we felt, you know what, that's what you take care of when you're outside of the office.
Yes.
But more and more what we're seeing is you bring your whole self to work, first of all. And secondly, with all the challenges that people are having when it comes to financial well-being, mental well-being, physical well-being, if we truly are having this partnership and this relationship with our employees, we need to support them. So I'm really excited that more and more companies are starting to see this as a part of the engagement journey that they're going on with their employees.
A lot of employees would be very happy with what the Gap did, and you talk about it in the book, Build It. They improved performance and saved 130,000 hours per year by tossing out the annual performance review. Thank you, Gap. Talk about that and why that really ended up being a positive for them.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, because I used to work for Gap, so I remember the hours and hours of the old way.
Yes.
And they were one of the first companies who've done this, and more companies are starting to do this. And if you think about what it used to be, you used to spend all this time doing performance appraisals and having this annual one-time meeting, and you know, you'd walk in and you wouldn't really know what to expect as an employee, and the manager would have to share everything all at once. And Gap really changed it and made it more of a continual conversation, because, again, that's what a relationship is. It's not like you talk to your partner once a year. You talk to them throughout the year. And it not only saves time because it becomes more natural, a part of your day-to-day, but it's also more effective and definitely more engaging.
Once you decide, okay, I really like the engagement bridge, this makes a lot of sense, we can adapt these for our circumstances, what kind of problems do you have in dealing with HR and dealing with legal departments? This is something brand new you're proposing, and sometimes there's sort of a let's slow it down and think this through. How difficult is it to get them on board?
Well, I am in HR, and I do work with legal quite often. And I think that the first thing is just to start with the why and explain to whether you're an HR, legal, or business leaders why we need to do this. And share the numbers that you shared at the beginning about, you know, the lack of engagement and the fact that, according to Gallup, who prepares all the data, it's only increasing 1% a year. And try to get everybody on board with the whole idea of let's work together in building our own engagement bridge and have them a part of the process and part of solving it. And really just try to change your mindset. And instead of thinking of what we cannot do or what we've done in the past, look at the possibilities and together start breaking down some of those barriers that have held us back. And even some of the crutches that we've relied on, you know, well, we have to do it this way because of this rule or that rule. We'll question and challenge it. Do we really need to? What is going to happen? And don't get me wrong, there are things that we have to do and we should do legally. I'm not, being a rebel is not breaking a rule to break a rule. It's challenging the rules and challenging and making sure we're doing it for the right reasons.
Time going by too quickly. We're talking about the new book, Build It, the Rebel Playbook. Deborah Corey, co-author, our guest on the program. A couple minutes left. I want to talk about the role millennials may have in the changing workplace. Talk about that. Are they making their presence felt? Is it part of the engagement bridge that you're talking about?
You know, I think that millennials are, you know, they get a bad rap quite often.
Yes.
I think that millennials are pushing and challenging us in different ways. So I think we would have gotten there. Millennials are having us go a bit quicker. And, you know, it's not all their fault. They're the way that they've grown up with being able to, with all of social media and being a part of things and communicating in a different way and having different expectations, that means that we need to engage them in a different way. And we need to think of all of our workforces. I think statistics show that there's 5 generations in a workforce. So we need to think about what is going to work with millennials, but what is going to work with all the others, and start talking to them in a different way, using technology as a way to interact and engage them as well.
Have you ever seen anything like this, this multi-generational workplace? You've been in HR for a number of decades where, like you say, you've got a number of generations in the workplace and you're trying to cater the business and employee engagement and involve everybody.
Yeah, I mean, we've always had differences. And if you think about it, you know, depending on your age and your circumstances, you'll have different needs and different requirements. But I do think you are right. With technology, that's really driven millennials in a different way. And again, it's challenged us in a different way. So yeah, it definitely keeps us on our toes with 5 generations in the workforce. But again, that's why it's important to have a model, whether it's the engagement bridge or any other model, that makes sure that you're looking at all the different elements that impact millennials and all the other generations so that you don't miss all these things that are important to your workforce.
The book is called Build It, the Rebel Playbook for World-Class Employee Engagement, talking about the engagement bridge, the 10 elements that we've discussed on the program today. Co-author is Deborah Corey. The book is available wherever books are sold, and the website is rebelplaybook.com. Of course, you can go to thisweekinamerica.us and link on directly to Deborah's website. Deborah, a pleasure having you on the program. Really a fascinating book. Congratulations on the success of the engagement bridge that you put together. It's helping a number of businesses worldwide. Thank you for sharing the success stories with us on the program today.
Thank you very much, and thanks for letting me tell our story and get more people in this revolution.
And you'll find all the information once again at the website rebelplaybook.com and link on directly by going to our website thisweekinamerica.us. We're back on today's program right after these messages. Please stay tuned.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.